Welcome. It is good to be with you on a Friday night. You never really know when you do a special service like this, you know, Good Friday or you know, something like that, if people are going to show up. You never really know on a Sunday morning if people are going to show up. But it's good to just be with you this morning. We're going to kind of carry along with the theme of what we've been singing about tonight, the love, but I want to do something a little bit different, so it might be hard to follow along with me tonight. Tonight might be one of those nights where you just want to grab a notebook or pull your phone out, open a note up, and write down some references, because what I thought would be really good for us tonight as we look at the love of Christ would be I want to look at every word that Jesus says from the cross. Every word that Jesus says from the cross, because that's what we're looking at tonight. You know, Sunday, we left off, Hosanna, Hosanna, people are crying, save me. Jesus is riding in on a donkey, which was very symbolic, and people were throwing palm branches. This was a huge spectacle. It was a beautiful moment. Last night would have been the night that Jesus would have been in the upper room, and they would have shared communion like we're going to in just a little bit. And if you came in this side door, you might not have got a communion, but don't sweat, don't panic. We'll make sure you get the elements before we take them. And so last night would have been the night that Jesus shared in the meal, and then at the end of the meal, they would have stood up, they would have sung together, and then today would have, and then he would have been captured last night overnight, kind of in the middle of the night while, you know, we were all sleeping, taken to Caiaphas' house, and all the things would have happened today, and he would have been crucified. So we gather on this Good Friday to remember death. This weekend, we gather together, we do all of these things to remember death, but not just death, but the significance of that death. The significance of that death. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, John writes this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us. Today is good because today is all about love." It's all about love. And I want us to meditate on God's love by looking at the cross, if that's all right. Hey, never mind, I'm not going to get into that. The big idea is this, that we're going to meditate upon the words of Jesus, like I already mentioned, from the cross. With the prayer, this is my prayer for you tonight, my prayer for me tonight, that they will reveal to us something of the amazing grace of Jesus. That they would reveal something to you, new and afresh, because His mercies are new every morning, but that this Good Friday would be just a little bit different. Just a little bit different. That tonight you would experience Jesus and His amazing grace fresh. As I've been walking into Holy Week this year, for some reason I shared this with the staff on Monday, I shared this I think with a few of you in a few different settings, but I just felt a longing and a tug to experience Holy Week this year for myself in a new way, in a new way. I just felt a need to press in to Holy Week in a new way, in a fresh way, and I've tried to do that in some different ways this year. A guy by the name of Charles Spurgeon once said, "It's fitting that every word of our Lord upon the cross should be gathered up and preserved." It's important. He goes on to say, "They have frequently been the subject of devout meditation." And so let's look at the first word, okay? The first word comes from Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Most of these are going to come from Luke 23 and John 19. So if you want to put your finger in both places, you can. But again, write the references and go back and read them with your family tonight. But Luke 23, 34, Luke says, "Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide His garments." Now, can we just pause for a second? I want you to picture in your mind, Jesus has been wrongly accused. Number one, how does it make you feel when you're wrongly accused? Great? No, angry. Opposite of great, right? Opposite of great. I will never forget, as a high schooler, I was at a place called CC's Pizza. Now let me tell you about CC's for just a second. CC's Pizza is an all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. And at the time I was in high school, it was $3.99. So as a high school student, it was heaven. Right? You could go to CC's, and they would even greet you. When you walked into CC's, the people from behind the counter that were making the pizzas, and they were flipping the dough up in the air and doing the whole deal. Hey, welcome to CC's! Right? And you just felt so loved when you walked in the room. Yes, give me all your pizza for $3.99. You drank water, you could get out of that place for less than $5 and eat enough food for the whole day. Okay? And so me and my friends would go there after school a lot of times before we had games, before we had activities that we had to be at. And so we had a soccer game one day. Yes, that may come as a surprise to you, but I did play soccer my senior year of high school. And by play, that might be a stretch. I sat a lot, okay? But I was at CC's with a few friends, and I showed up late. I don't remember why I showed up late, but I showed up late, and all my friends were done eating, and we had to be at the field at a certain time. And so I wasn't going to bother paying $3.99 for a bunch of pizza when I couldn't sit there and eat pizza very long. So I just sat with them for a minute, and we got up and left and had to get to the field. And as we were getting up, one of my friends was going to leave a piece of crust. Now, I know some of you are about to go, ew, gross. I was like, I'm not going to let that little piece of crust go to waste. I'm going to eat it, right? It was my friends. It wasn't like it was on another table. That was what my friends would do sometimes. They would go, never mind, anyway, right? And so I ate this piece of crust, and we got up, and we're leaving, and we're heading out to the soccer field, and the manager from behind the counter of, hey, welcome to CC's, said, hey, young man, you owe me some money. What? No, I don't. He said, well, you ate food and you didn't pay. I said, I ate a piece of crust. He said, no, I saw you eat multiple pieces of pizza. I said, sir, I ate a piece of crust. And he said, you owe me $3.99 plus tax. I said, you better be glad you're not Pizza Hut. So I paid up and I left. And obviously now, 20 plus years later, that stuck with me. Why? Because he told me I did something I didn't do, right? Now, granted, I ate the food, so I probably owed $3.99 and should have gone back and got a couple plates of pizza and scarfed it down real quick and gotten to the field late, just like I'd gotten to CC's late. And so that is what it is, but he thought I had done something that I had not done. So we start out, let's just think, you know, again, looking at the picture of Jesus, wrongly accused, not great, arrested, for being wrongly accused, not great. Beaten all day to the point, Scripture says, where he was unrecognizable. That's something I think we forget. Unrecognizable. Okay? Unrecognizable. Hanging on the cross, and then of the people as they're mocking him. They're playing games because they want to take his clothes home. Right? They're making a mockery of this whole thing. It was nothing to them. Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. Because they have no idea what's coming. They have no idea what they're doing. Father, forgive them. The first word that Jesus says from the cross speaks forgiveness to us. And I don't know about you, but I don't know much to say about that other than that's amazing grace. I know me. That's amazing grace. That as Dylan quoted earlier, about Jesus, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He spoke forgiveness from the cross. And here's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the good news. The good news of the good news of Jesus is that through Jesus' death on the cross, we're forgiven. And I want to press down on that for a moment because some of you may know you're forgiven, but you don't yet know that you're forgiven. And there's a difference. There's a difference between having the head knowledge of forgiveness, the head knowledge of the forgiveness of Jesus, and the heart knowledge, knowing that Jesus forgiving you and speaking, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," from the cross, had big implications for how you can live and walk in freedom today, no matter your brokenness. And that's huge for us. It's huge for us. The first word he speaks is forgiveness. The second word, same passage, just a little further down, Luke 23, 39 through 34, 44, I want to read it first. One of the criminals, I love this, who were hanged, railed at him, just yelling at him, giving everything, and saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Get down from here." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Now, picture this, okay? They're on a hill, right outside the city, and there's three guys hanging on a cross on their way to eternity, arguing. Arguing. Now, one of them, angry, right? Anger issues. He's angry, right? He's yelling at Jesus, "Hey, if you're Jesus, if you're who they said you are, right? Step off the cross. Heal yourself. Where's your God now?" Right? And that makes logical sense to us if we don't understand the meaning of the resurrection that we're going to talk about in 48 hours. Less than. Right? Because this had to happen. His death had to happen. His burial had to happen. His resurrection had to happen. Right? We'll get more to that in just a few moments. But then the other one kind of comes to the defense like, "Hey, chill, man. We're dying here." Right? We're hanging up here because of something that we did. We're hanging up here because we deserve it. This guy in the middle, he doesn't deserve this. He doesn't deserve this. And so what does Jesus say to him? Jesus, he actually says to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him in verse 43, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Wow. Jesus is still doing ministry on the cross. "You will be with me in paradise." And there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, is the sixth hour at the time. The second word that Jesus speaks there is salvation and hope. I say this all the time. Hope is the thing that separates Christianity from any other religion. And this is the hope. Salvation. And Jesus is still giving salvation. He is still saving people on the way to the cross. We did this last Easter. I would do it every Easter if you would forget what I did some Easters. But there's a preacher named Alistair Begg, and he's English, and he talks about the thief on the cross. And he gets to heaven, and they said, "By what merit are you here?" And the thief on the cross looks back and says, "I don't know." And they're like, "What do you mean you don't know?" "I don't know." "Well, do you understand the doctrine of salvation?" "I don't know." "How many Sunday school classes?" I mean, they go on and on and on. And they basically said, "On what basis are you here?" And the thief on the cross looks back at him and says, "The man on the middle cross said I could come." That's hope. That's why Good Friday is good. It's because through the cross, the man on the middle cross said you could come. You could go. You could experience salvation. You could walk in freedom. You could be set free from the bondage that you're hanging on to and the shame that you're feeling and it's just weighing you down. You can walk in freedom this side of heaven and the other thanks to the hope and salvation of Jesus on the cross. It's never too late. And if you're sitting here tonight, no one's ever too far gone to experience hope and salvation. Never give up. The third word Jesus speaks from the cross, and it's kind of a quick one, but we flipped to John 19, 25 through 27, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, we're going to talk about that on Sunday, I love that. When he saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. See, the third word that Jesus speaks from the cross is about the importance of family relationships. Jesus is saying, "John, take care of mama. Mama, take care of John." It's huge. And again, all this while Jesus hanging on the cross, he speaks of the importance of family relationships. The church had not been yet born, but he doesn't mention John's name there. He says disciple, right? Take care of him. And I love that. The third is family relationships. The fourth word that we see, Matthew 27, 46, it says, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice." Now, again, people have started to probably disappear at this point, all of the depictions, right? Jesus is still hanging there, but he cries out with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani." That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, this is huge. Why? Because it shows the humanity of Jesus. It shows the humanity of Jesus. That in this moment, he felt forsaken. And he had to. He had to. Right? In order to wear our sin and our shame on the cross, he had to feel this. Right? He had to go through this. He had to walk through this. Why? Because this word speaks to substitution. Because as Dylan mentioned earlier, not Jesus, as Dylan mentioned earlier, right? That we don't remember. This today is all about mercy. That Jesus wore on the cross and died a death that was ours. But he was our substitute. He was our substitute. And so for this fourth word that we see on the cross, it speaks of substitution. Because on the cross, Jesus became our substitute. He took our sin upon him and gave us righteousness. And because God forsake Jesus on the cross, God will never leave or forsake us. Then we see the fifth word. John 19, 28 and 29. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on the hyssop branch and reached it up and held it to his mouth." And this speaks of the humanity and suffering of Jesus. A thirst. Because God became a man in the person of Jesus, stepped out of heaven, he got hungry, he got tired, he got thirsty. Hebrews 4 speaks of, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so we see the humanity and the suffering of Jesus, because Jesus stepped out of heaven and became man. He goes on, John 19, 29 through 30. Let's just look at 30. "When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." And the sixth word, it's a word of victory. Isn't it? It's finished. What a word of victory. When he said it's finished, he had paid the price of our salvation. We just sang it, Jesus paid it all. Listen to me, if you believe in Jesus tonight, you're going to heaven because Jesus has taken our punishment for us. I saw this quote. Anonymous. This shout of triumph, speaking of it is finished, rings with all the freshness and force of when he spoke it. The satisfaction he rendered to the justice of God was now finished. But next, the Savior meant that the satisfaction which he rendered to the justice of God was finished. The debt was now to the last penny all discharged. Freed. Once and for all, forever. And then the last word from the cross is confidence. Luke 23:46-48. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. The last word is the confidence that all of us have, that all of God's children have when we pass this side of heaven. And that's eternity with Him. If we believe in Jesus, we will be saved. What a great example of what Jesus meant when He said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay His life down for His friends. John 15:13. Believe. When we look back at these words, believe. Believe that Jesus on the cross brings forgiveness, a hope, and a salvation. The importance of family relationships, both our intimate family, but also, I believe, a precursor for the church family of God. Substitution. He died a death that we didn't have to, that we deserved. Showed His humanity and suffering, claimed victory with it is finished, and the confidence that God was still there. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And we're going to take communion in just a minute. I'm going to invite Jeff to come up and play. But as he does, I think it would be not right of us to walk through the rest of the evening and not give you an opportunity to believe. Here's how that goes. What does the death that Jesus died on the cross mean for us today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Just believe. Just believe. Doesn't mean you understand everything there is to know. The thief on the cross certainly didn't. He just believed in the legitimacy of who Jesus was and says, Jesus, where you're going, I want to be. Where you're going, I want to be. I believe. And so tonight, if you're sitting here and you'd say, man, Travis, I've never believed on Jesus. I've never believed on Jesus. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes right now. And no one's looking around except for me. And if you're saying tonight, Travis, I believe in Jesus, and tonight I want to give my life to Him. I want to claim the victory in my life. I'm going to count to three in just a second. I just want you to lift up your hand. We're not going to prolong this, but we haven't done this in a while, and we need to. And tonight, especially this weekend, especially, I want you to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God by believing in the person and work of Jesus. And so if you're sitting here tonight and you say, I want to believe in Jesus, Just lift up your hand. Number one, two, three. Anybody else? I see one. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Wow. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Okay. You can put it down. Anybody else? Give you about five more seconds. If that was you, I want you to know there's a party in heaven right now because of the decision that you made. And we traditionally say a prayer that's symbolic of turning our life over to Him. And so I'm going to say a prayer, and I just want you to repeat after me. And you can repeat it in your heart, in your mind. You don't have to repeat it out loud. God that searches hearts and minds is going to hear you loud and clear. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And you died to save me. And tonight, I invite you into my life. You take over. I am yours. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Now look right up here. Everybody look right up here at me. If that was you and you raised your hand, there's Elder Dan right back there. Dylan will be back there. He'll be up here. Elder Zan is right here. Tom Hasbrook is back there. See one of us. Tom, will you wave your hand? Zan, wave your hand. Pastor Rick, wave your hand. Just see one of us before you leave tonight. Just say, "Hey, I believe." Just look at him and say, "I believe. I believe." We just want to talk to you. We want to make sure that you have everything that you need to start your relationship with Jesus. Continue it. Can we just give God a hand? Dan, Zan, you might need to help. Does anybody need communion elements? I know this is clunky. Five more weeks, y'all. We need at least four, five, six over here. I'm just going to start talking. Four down here. Now, here's how we do this. I'll give you the housekeeping instructions, okay? Here's how we do this. Summit Church, we practice open communion. And what does that mean, Pastor Travis? I'm glad you asked. It means you don't have to be a member of Summit Church to come to our table. We ask and we encourage that you be a member of the family of God, that you follow Jesus. And as for little ones, parents, we trust you with that. If we want your kiddos that might not yet understand grace and the doctrine of salvation and the doctrine of the inerrancy of Scripture and all of those things, right? Some of you are like, "I don't even understand that." That's okay. That's good. Probably better that you don't. But if you want them to partake with you and you want to have that conversation, that's we trust parents in the room to do your thing with your families, okay? But we practice open communion. So here's how these work. You peel back that top layer. Let's do that together now. And pull that wafer out. And Scripture says, "This is my body, broken for you." When I take communion, when I lead in communion, I always like to point out that bread was a symbol of sustenance, sustaining. And Jesus, with the bread and breaking the bread, which was symbolic that he was about to be broken. What he's saying is, "I'm enough for you. I'm enough for you." And so just right now, where you are, as you hold this bread, I want you to look at it. And I just want you to whisper to Jesus that he's enough for you. "Jesus, you're enough for me. I don't need anything else. I don't need anyone else. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the people in my life. I'm thankful for what you've blessed me with. I'm thankful for what you've given me. But Jesus, you're enough. Because 2,000 years ago on the cross, he was enough for you. He was enough. Because he was broken. Break your wafer for you. Bore the weight of your brokenness on the cross. And so God, I thank you that you're enough. I thank you that it's for freedom you set us free. That your power is made perfect in our weakness. And God, tonight as we share in this bread, I pray that we would see you as enough over our circumstance. See you as enough over our relationships. See you as enough over our hurt. See you as enough in our celebration, in our joy, in our happiness. Thank you for your body. In Jesus' name, God bless you as you eat. Then on that night, which again would have been last night, Maundy Thursday, Jesus took the cup. Now, can you imagine being a disciple? You're sitting around a dinner table. You're sitting around a room. They probably didn't have a dinner table. I don't know. Maybe the painting's real. A one-sided dinner table. Some of you got that. I'm not trying to be irreverent. I'm just, put yourself in the room. Right? And Thomas, man, poor Thomas. We're going to talk about him a little bit more on Sunday. But he had to just be sitting there thinking, okay, blood, body, broken, poured out. What in the world? Right? But Jesus takes the cup and he said, this is my blood. Spill for you. This is my blood. I love the song. We're not singing it tonight. That's okay. We're singing every other song that's appropriate for Good Friday, but not my favorite one. But I helped pick them, so it's my fault. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Look at the person next to you and say, nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. Not good deeds. Not the number of ways you serve. Not the number of verses you can quote. Not the amount of Bible studies you've been through. You can't earn it. We can't earn these words. We can't earn hope and salvation. We can't earn forgiveness. We can't earn it. There's nothing that you've done to deserve being washed white as snow. There's a purity that comes from the blood of the Lamb that could only be accessed with the Son of God on the cross. So he looks at his disciples and he says, as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray over the juice tonight. Father, thank you for your blood. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son that gives us life. And as we've looked at these words tonight, I pray that we would be encouraged and that we would be reminded and that we would remember Jesus. That He's enough. That He was enough then. He's enough now. He'll be enough tomorrow. He's enough. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you drink. Let's pray and go home. Father, thank you that we get to gather, that we get to celebrate you, that we get to rejoice in our salvation, and just pray that you be with us as we go tonight. God, help us to love one another as you've loved us, to lay down our lives for each other. I thank you so much that we get the opportunity to do that, even when we don't feel like it, and even when it's not convenient, we get the opportunity to do that. So I pray we would do so. God bless these kids that have been amazing tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Love y'all. See you Sunday.